Welcome, everyone. Good afternoon. It's Office Hours, the Celebrity Entrepreneur Show with the amazing James Maslow getting ready for a worldwide tour, which me and my family are going to meet and greet him on occasion around the cities that we seem to swarm. Welcome back, Mr. Maslow.
David, good to see you, man.
You know, I'll tell you, I was looking back on the blessings in my life, and one of them was to be mentored by a guy named Lee Steinberg. They had made a movie called Jerry Maguire way back when with Cuba Gooding Jr. and Tom Cruise, Renee Zellweger. Sure. Cuba actually won Academy Award for the movie in a supporting role. But I was blessed because I ran that company. And one of the greatest lessons that I learned about great athletes were that there were certain ones that understood the gifts that they were given. And they saw a responsibility to give back with that gift, not just monetarily, but they realized, for example, I represented Evander Holyfield, and he realized when he did a public service announcement, which is called a PSA, when he did a national PSA saying real men don't hit women, that it would have an extraordinary impact on men. Wow. It would change the way they looked at being a man. If David Meltzer said that, nobody would listen and it would mean nothing. But Evander Holyfield, and one of the things I admire about our guest coming on today is that he not only recognized and acknowledged the gifts that he was given, but he's actually utilizing them in order to change people's lives. And just like Evander Holyfield, he has put his time, his emotion, his belief systems into play beyond his monetary gain to help other people. It is an honor, my friend, as we talk about celebrity entrepreneurs. One of my newest family members, a great celebrity entrepreneur, a great football player as well, T.Y. McGill Jr., welcome to our show.
Yes, sir.
What's up, David? Man? Thanks for jumping on. We chatted for about 3 minutes before this, so David, we're already best friends. Sorry, don't be jealous.
Well, I heard you both are going to be asking me to represent you for the PGA, so I got you.
I'm wearing my true hat, which is troubadour for those of you guys who aren't avid golfers like I pretend to be. Technically, though, fun fact, one of the nicest golf courses in the country, and it is the only golf course which your boy here has played an official 18-hole round. You call it a round of golf?
Yeah, it's a round. Yeah.
Of course I know that because I'm a professional.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you guys got to know each other. T.Y., you know, I always like to ask for people out there that may have children that look up to you or others like you, what was it in your family that led you down a path of philanthropy, of caring so much for other people when so many others don't?
Man, that's a great question, David. I think it was pretty much, for me, it was my upbringing, though. It's a small story about me. When I was the age of 8, man, I had to make one of the biggest decisions in my life, and that was to choose if I wanted to live with my mother and my father because they were splitting up. At the age of 8, I had no idea what separation or the splitting up meant, right? So fast forward, I say, the way that I was raised, because even though my parents split up, my mom and my dad, even to this day, are like brothers and sisters, but they had that relationship. And my grandmother as well, which was my mom's mom. But in the fact that they raised me, it was selfless. Like, nobody was selfish. And that showed me, right, to be kind and to take care of others. Everybody from my mom, my grandmother, to my dad were all givers. My dad used to help I'm from a small town, so you can, 10,000 people, you probably know half of them, if not all of them. And they all knew my father. So my dad was just one of those guys that would give you the shirt off his back. My grandmother the same way. And my mom, just she would give back to others because my dad used to do so much for me. And I have clothes and stuff. And when I outgrew them, I just always see my mom come through, taking everything up and giving it away. And, not selling it, giving it away. So, I didn't know it then, but at 8 and growing forward, those traits from my family actually, molded me to be the man that I am today in terms of, you know, just giving back and just helping others.
I love that. Did you have to choose, or it sounds like you were able to maintain a relationship with both your parents? How did that work out?
So, definitely had to choose. I came home 8 years old, running. It was a regular day, running to the door, like running home, jumping off the bus. And I get in there, and my mom is like, she has this strange look on her face. And she's like, look, mom and dad are splitting up. Like, you got to, you know, which way do you want to go? Do you want to come with mom? I'm moving to Jacksonville, Florida. Or do you want to stay here with dad, right? So my dad was a, you know, star athlete in high school, didn't play collegiately, but a star athlete in high school, and like everybody knew him. So like I was, you know, sports was my thing growing up. And so I'm like, yeah, I want to stay with my dad. You know, like it was definitely a hard decision, but when I made it, I could see the, you know, the disbelief kind of in my mom, and that hurt me a little bit. But to say the least, I think now looking back at it, I made the right decision. Just because of where I'm at today. And, yeah, you know,
it's so interesting. And you created a foundation, to help children as well. And give us a little bit of background on how he's, you know, it's a requirement of Lee Steinberg that everyone had a charitable, as a qualification, to make sure that every one of our athletes had a charitable purpose or cause, but not just a charitable purpose or cause, one that they could answer the question for the sake of what, not just to have one, but, you know, I had Chris Ariel, another boxer. He had a shoe foundation, which gave shoes to kids that couldn't afford them, because when he was a kid, he couldn't afford new shoes. So he put cardboard in the bottoms and it wore through and holes. So it meant something to him. Ralph Bernerska had Kick for Critters in San Diego at the zoo, because these animals meant so much to him. And ironically, he ended up also supporting Cancer Foundation and invested in a company. He was asked to invest in a company to cure, I forget which specific disease, but ended up exiting for an additional $500 million beyond his football career. For the sake of what did you create your foundation?
So just to go back a little bit, and I'm going to get on that, but I think it's really unique how you said these guys started their foundations and what happened after. Because you start these things, you know, not knowing where it's going to go, right? Like, you just open up your heart and you just start a foundation to give. But so me personally, the T.Y. McGill Jr. Foundation is to, you know, empower and motivate today's youth, through education and experience, right? Just getting them exposed. So really just starting it, I'm having my sixth annual football camp May 10th. And that's kind of where it all like kind of started. When I got into the league, I wanted to do camps back in my own time. I seen other guys in the league doing camps. So I'm like, I want to do a camp. Like I want to do that. So I started a camp, no foundation at the time, right? No foundation, nothing. I'm spending whatever I got, you know, I'm spending it. We're doing free food. We're doing gift bags. We're drinks. Like everything is free for the kids. And as I got, you know, going into my career, I had one of my friends, he was like, hey man, why don't you do a foundation? Like, why don't you start a foundation and maybe you can get others to help you with the camp. And again, the foundation was started kind of solely off the camp. And then all these other avenues just started to come about. And it's like, oh man, this is dope. So really, again, hometown, wanted to do something for my, you know, for the family and the friends back home in the community. And that's how we started the camp. And then, you know, did some back to school stuff, some, you know, turkey drives and things like that. And that was not under the foundation initially. Then, like I said, my friend was like, bro, we need to start a foundation. And like, not only can you do this, but like, you can get others to help you, you know, provide these resources. And I thought about it, met some guys over at PAC. Then I met my my publicist, Sherry Andrinos with Boost One Marketing. And then since then, we've just been kind of on the rise, you know, just taking every little thing we get, see what works, see what doesn't work. And we've just been building on since then.
That's awesome, man. Well, I mean, to David's point, I think you're talking about doing things for the right reasons, doing things because you want to do them, because there's good at the end of that, because you love it. Even, you know, dare I say, you know, sports career, because you're passionate about playing the game. It starts with that love. And I'd imagine you weren't beginning to go, well, I'm going to do this only because I want to make millions of dollars. Like, no, right. Kid thinks that way. We all start out doing what we do. I started out playing music and singing in the shower. I had no concept of the fact that I was going to be able to make a great living singing and acting later in life. And I think that not obvious is applied to your career. Obviously, pardon me, has applied to your career, but seems as well that's applying to the charitable aspects of your life. And David, your story about somebody just casually also making an extra $500 million. I think stories like that, for the most part, are only possible when it is authentic. You're doing things because your heart is telling us the right thing to do. And it's an old adage, but it's like, do what you're passionate about, follow your heart, and money will come. And I know that's scary to say when you don't have money, and I've been there. And I love this example, and I think it's something that we should reiterate and repeat, because I think there is so much truth in that. When you follow what you're passionate about, you continue to follow the right path and do good in the world. The world conspires to reciprocate that good. And it sounds like that's happening right now with you, T.Y.
Yeah, 100%, man. I really got into this thing and not even thinking that, because I'm thinking 501(c) foundation, like nonprofit, not for profit.
Yeah.
Like, you can't make money off that. So that wasn't even a thing. Like, that was just the young me, right? Just wanting to do and just wanting to be able to be a resource and give back. Again, the foundation, like, you know, now, you know, we have a mission. We got the pillars of, you know, where we want to go. And the biggest thing is just finding others to help, help others find their purpose. Right. And that's where we came up with the Purpose Project. And we was, you know, we launched that 2 years ago when I was in San Francisco. And since then, like I say, we've just been on the rise.
And you're an entrepreneur as well. And you have a business mind and a business future. At what point in your football career did you decide that I'm going to start not only focusing on the field play, but I'm going to build a foundation for off the field, as not only do you help children in their entrepreneurial success and getting exposed to different careers, jobs, industries, and building relationships for them, but you've done the same for yourself. At what stage of your career did you realize I should focus some of my intention on building a foundation for a successful business?
So three years ago. So probably going on four now. When I went to San Francisco, I had two guys that was with my agency and they were more like interns, you know, they were in law school, getting their law degree, and we just was chopping up. I was like, man, I'd like to do a foundation, man, just to kind of like raise money and just kind of like give it, you know, give back. So we literally went through that whole process, the 501(c) process, got, you know, solidified as a foundation, and we were just doing jersey raffles, right? So we have a Trent Williams jersey, we'll just raffle it off. A Debo Samuel, just raffle it off. And the money we get back, we just donated to different, you know, organizations around the Bay. And my man was like, he's like, bro, you like, he's like, we really got something here. Like, we really can. And I'm like, I'm starting to see it as well. I'm like, yeah, we really do. Like, maybe we should take the next step and to grow this thing. And we didn't even discuss this. So I went to PAC, Pro Athlete Community. I don't know if you guys ever, you know, heard of PAC or not. I went there, and that's where I met Sherry. Literally that year, I met Sherry, and she was telling me everything that she do in terms of how she moves and helps foundations and, you know, get guys to where they want to be, especially like the transition after football. So the last 3.5-4 years is really where the T.Y. McGill Jr. Foundation started, and meeting Sherry, I want to say 2 years ago now, has just propelled everything forward.
Beautiful.
That's awesome, man. So where are you spending most of your time these days? Is it focused on that? Is it focused on other investments, family? Where would you say, like, how is your life broken up?
So right now, it's an interesting time. Really interesting time. So
I'm interested.
Yeah, no, really, it's really crazy. It's a really crazy time, like, honestly, in my life, because one, the foundation has been big. I'm definitely so locked into that because that's going to be, that's now and forever, like after football, right? And so now I'm also in going into my 11th year in the National Football League. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, been thinking about, you know, the transition and what's next for a few years now, but now it's it almost feel like it could happen, right? Because I'm in the process where I'm waiting on, you know, after the draft to see, you know, if I, you know, get the call again, training every day to stay ready for the call. So it's just, it's so many moving parts going on right now. So I would say I'm definitely in a little, you know, invested in a little bit of everything in terms of football, foundation, obviously family, 100% invested in family. And then, you know, the different things that I have off of, you know, out of football as well. My wife is a realtor. She does with Campus. I'm not Campus. That's something totally different. Compass is who she works for. She does all the she's on the sports and entertainment side of Compass. And she's doing really good. So, you know, we kind of got a property or two under her name that, you know, that we're invested in as well on top of other things. But so I'm literally all over the place right now, bro. Like, you know, waiting on this call from one of the 32 teams, moving along with the foundation, getting some real estate going, being a father and a husband. I'm all over the place, but I enjoy it. I love it.
Sounds like a lot of irons and a lot of fires, man.
No, 100%. And I tell guys, I'm like, man, it, like after this game, it's like, man, you can have $100 million in the bank, and be like, I'm done playing football. What else are you gonna do?
Yeah,
like you can't just wake up and just be like, I'm a millionaire. I can't. Man, you got to – my biggest thing for me personally is I just want to wake up with a purpose every single morning. Having a purpose every morning and to just carry that out. Like, that's just where I'm at now.
Yeah. T.Y., you know, I coach a lot of players that I try to convey it's an expansion of your skills, knowledge, and desire. It's not a transition. It's not a matter of asking yourself, I'll be happy when, right? And I get them into that purpose-driven definiteness of purpose-driven life that says, as long as my purpose is great, and this is, as you know, I was a below average college football player, so we're in different leagues. But the one thing I can compete on is that my purpose in playing football was so much greater than the pain. Mm-hmm. And most people my size with the lack of talent that I had would have quit much earlier in their careers than I did. But I carried forward that idea of purpose. I have always lived in a purpose for the sake of other people. For example, for me, it was for the sake of my mom. I wanted to buy her a house so bad. I wanted her to be financially secure more than my own life meant to me. Like it, mm-hmm. And she earned that because I watched her. And I think it's important for everyone when we look at whether you're in the military, we're looking to improve ourselves into a different industry, career, or job, that we haven't lost the skills that it took to be one of the greatest football players in the world, or the knowledge, not just of what, but of who. We build these relationships correctly, like you have in the league, and utilize with your family, your wife. They use those relationships. But the one thing that determines your success is a desire that you must be what you can be. And anyone that's played in the league as long as you have, there's a guarantee that you have a desire that you must be what you can be. And if you don't fulfill that, then your pain will become greater than the purpose. And eventually the pains won't even be that big because you've seen these guys, man, all of a sudden they're whining about little shit when 3 years earlier they were enduring so much in their lives without complaining. Now they're like, oh, my water heater broke. And yeah, it's like the end of the world. You're like, dude, I watched you work out 3 years ago. This is not a pain.
Man, those are bars. Like you just said so much just then, and it's so right. It's like, but that's where, like for me, for example, it's like I've been playing football longer than 10 years. I've just been playing professionally for 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's like you get out and it's like you have so much drive, so much accountability, you know, the effort, the attitude, everything is there for ball. It's like now we got the transition. How do we get that same mentality on a day to day? Right? How do we keep using that?
That moment, we got to run this back and pull a clip of T.Y. making the oh shit face, because I'm going to call that the David Meltzer oh shit knowledge. When he hits you with that oh shit
knowledge. Yeah, that was crazy.
Why I do this show. I sit here and listen, and then people like yourself and David Meltzer, they're called the oh shit moments with the oh shit knowledge. But I truly love that. And I see that in my own world as well with musicians and actors. It's no different. Same thing. You get into something like, dude, the same thing you were doing for free or losing money, paying to do, right? Whether paying to drive up to auditions in LA, paying to be in acting class, busting on the sidewalk for free, all the things that artists do well before they get paid. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden you start making millions of dollars doing it. It's so important to not only remember where you came from and just have the reference for, I would have never complained about the things I complain about now. And as long as I know it, and I might still bitch about it, but I know it's a champagne problem. So I got to smile as I'm bitching through it. You're allowed to bitch, I understand. But then more importantly, too, look to the future. And that's something, again, that oh shit knowledge from David Meltzer inspires me constantly to think about everything I've done as just this foundation for everything that I'm going to do. And it's going to be a lot more of that, a lot more film and TV music, God willing. But it's also going to be sharing that with people. It is going to be creating more opportunities for myself, my family, and again, David, I think this is a new segment, the oh shit knowledge from David.
Nah, for real. Because, like, I didn't know what to expect coming on here at all. Like, you know, and, like, David, bro, like, even in Augusta, it was like some of the things you were saying, I'm like, man, this man is off the chain. Like, he really gets it. So it's like stuff like that, man. It's just like being able to share those scars and what you just said with the youth, right? Like that's where I'm trying to center myself and share the good, the bad, and the ugly. Like I want y'all to know it all. So maybe you don't make the same mistakes and decisions that I made, right? Like at least give you that opportunity.
Send me some of your kids to at least have a remote internship, because we'd love to give them exposure to the core values, daily practices, and an execution model that has been time tested, not just by me, but by my predecessors, guys like Napoleon Hill and Dr. Wayne Dyer and Covey and Bob Proctor, so many people that have preceded me and planted seeds in me. And I remember Dennis Waitley, who's an old school sales guy that I met when I was 25, before I became a millionaire. He said, "Son, I know you're rolling your eyes at me." He said, "But I guarantee I'm planting a seed under a tree that I may never get to sit under." And he's in his 90s now. He lives in La Jolla, California, and I've been blessed to see him. And one of the greatest achievements of my life is to see the pride on his face that I was able to mature from the lessons that I resisted when I was young, but execute on later on in life to do the same. I tell my own kids, T.Y. and James, I know you're going to get kids soon someday, James, but I told my son the other day, because he rolls his eyes at me all the time, because I'm an annoying dad. What that means when you're an annoying dad.
You should be.
Yeah, exactly, man. I'm repetitive and honest to my kids, but he rolls his eyes at me and I said, "Thank you." And he said, "Dad, what are you thanking me for?" He said, "Because you just acknowledged. You looked at me, you acknowledged what I was saying, and then you planted that seed back into your brain. I could see it when you rolled your eyes. You were just planting that idea. You're not ready for that idea. It's bigger than you right now. But when it's not bigger than you, it's going to make you bigger. And you're going to thank me again when you are bigger and you're able to understand these lessons that you're catching. I'm not teaching, you're catching." So I'm just honored to have friends like you two guys. I'm honored to hopefully light a little bit of fire and give you a little bit more juice to give you more purpose to help other people. We're going to do a lot more together. I know that. And we are going to go out on the golf course and laugh at James. And
it's gonna look great though, right? Ready? I already got the style down.
No transfusions, James. You got to hit the ball. No transfusions.
That's all right.
I'll do what I can do. I got no shame. Again, I'm gonna look like I'm a golfer, right? And I think that's half the battle, guys. Just look
at it's a lot of the battle,
man. That's 100%. 100%.
For Instagram, it's good for you, buddy. Anyway, TY, you will be invited, not obligated, to a bunch more stuff. We'd love to have you join us whenever we can. Please send me some kids to intern for me. I'm happy to assist. And hopefully utilizing the dummy tax I paid so they don't have to pay it. Appreciate you, man. Thanks for your time.
Nah, thank you, guys. Thank you, David. Thank you, James, man. Y'all be safe.
You
appreciate
too.
The time, man.
Good luck. I know you're going to join. We'll come see you play this season.
Once Let's go. Thank you. All right. Thank
you. Sounds good. See you soon, man. Ah, I love these shows, and you know, we keep bringing on such fantastic and energetic guests with such a wealth of experience and knowledge in their own dummy tax. And it's really cool to see him, you know, giving back to the world and following his heart. And it seems like he's getting as much joy out of that, if not more, than the professional career, which he still is killing.
Yeah, you don't stay in the league that long without having the right mindset. You know, I've seen great athletes, they die out because they don't do the work. They're just born in a high basement. They got incredible talent, and they are the extra milers. You know, they go the extra mile every once in a while, and then they use that to justify why they don't get to the place that T.Y. gets, because he's an empty miler. He does it every day. Even when he's waiting for a team to call, he's doing it every single day. That's my takeaway for the day, is to be an empty miler like T.Y. and allow things to come through you for others. Any last thoughts, takeaways that you could share with us, James?
You know, I love that he asked the question, what's next? But he's not doing it at the moment when he's done. He's doing it well before that moment's there, so that when that moment comes, he doesn't need to ask that question. And I think that's beautiful. He's doing it now, so he's not doing it later when it's much, much scarier. It's a lot easier to say what's next when you're flush, your bills are paid, you're occupied, you're stimulated. But instead of just sitting back, he's that extra miler, or that endless miler, no miler,
and empty miler.
Actually, I think that's really inspirational, you know, especially while you're doing stuff, while you're hot, while you have stuff going on. Do a little bit more. See what else piques your interest and curiosity, and make sure that you're giving back and sharing that along the way, as you have done with me and so many people over the years. And I appreciate that very much.
I love working with you. I love mentoring, teaching, and coaching you the best that I can. I know you're going to empower so many people in your life already doing it. Not only do you have an amazing mindset, but you have a heart set to match it. You're a great learner. An intelligent follower makes a great leader. That's why James Maslow is a great leader. T.Y. McGill Jr. as well. I'm blessed to surround myself with the greatest people and the greatest ideas. I must be doing something right. James Maslow, thanks for joining us on Celebrity Entrepreneur Show. We'll see you next week.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Remember, most importantly, be more interested than interesting. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds.